4. Last week we had an opportunity to look at mothers and what the Bible says, and it was a blessing. The week before that, we started in Acts chapter 4, looking at about when the Holy Spirit fills the church. And we're going to be in verse number 21. We'll start there, read down to verse 33 of Acts chapter 4, then see what the Lord has for us today. We want to continue that as we look in Acts chapter 4, when the Holy Spirit fills the church. So this would be part two. If you're obliged, the Bible says here in verse number 21, and in honor and respect to God's word, if you're able, would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? We'll read together. Well, I'll read. Verse 21 and read to verse 33. Here we are, Acts chapter 4, verse 21 is where we start. Verse 33 is where we'll stop. The Bible says this, "So when they had further threatened them, they left them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. They had healed, a man was healed. For the man was above 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Again, the verse number 31 is our key verse as we look at this passage. It is this, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And how many were filled with the Holy Ghost? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if everyone in this room, were to be filled with the Holy Ghost today? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost today? Man, I do. I can tell you that having the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that I'm filled with Him. Having Him dwell with me, the Bible says, is different than being filled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean I get more of Him. I think in essence it means He gets more of me. He gets more of you as we seek His filling even today. The Bible tells us that these folks experienced a great movement of God, and there were some reasons why. What are some things that show that a church is filled with the Holy Ghost? Thank you. You may be seated at this time. Let me share with you some questions that people actually asked a park ranger around the country. These are actual questions that park rangers turned in statistically, and they were asked by questionnaire, and they said this is what people asked when we were at our post. The Grand Canyon National Park, Arizona. Here's some questions. Was this man-made? Is the mule train air-conditioned? Everglades National Park. Anybody know where that's at? Florida. Are the alligators real? I wouldn't want to try to find out. What time does the 2 o'clock bus leave? Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming. Does Old Faithful erupt at night? You know the answer to that, don't you? Yes, it does. It does. I think it's every 45 minutes or something now. Carlsbad Caverns National Park in New Mexico. How much of the cave is underground? Does it ever rain in here? And how many ping pong balls would it take to fill this place up? Boy, sometimes we come up with funny questions, don't we? Silly things. And probably whoever asked those was very serious. Boy, I really like to know what time that 2 o'clock bus leaves. The Bible tells us that God wants his church to be filled with the Spirit of God. He wants his people to be filled individually, but listen to this, corporately. The Bible tells us that these believers were filled with the Holy Ghost. Their surrender and submission to the Holy Spirit allows them to be molded into the health and growing body of Christ that they were at the time. This morning, we want to take a look at that when the Holy Spirit fills the church. I'll go over some things, some notes that we shared a couple weeks ago very quickly, then we'll get into a couple other thoughts on this, but I'd sure like to see Grace Baptist filled with the Spirit of God, wouldn't you? That doesn't mean we're going to have healing services. We're going to have tongues speaking up. That's not the filling of the Holy Spirit. No, the Bible shares there's some particular things, at least in this passage, that the Holy Spirit does that is evidence that his church is walking with him. Let's go ahead and ask God to help us so that we can see what he sees when we look. Heavenly Father, pray for your help today. We are weak people, Lord. We are weak. We have need of you for our very next breath, dear Lord. And we rely on you for our eternal soul. Perhaps there's one here who needs Jesus as Savior, Lord. And I pray that you would open their eyes and show them this is the day of salvation. Not to wait any longer, but to invite Christ and receive him into their life. The precious blood he paid is still good today. As a believer, Lord, I need to be one of those who are willing to be a few that will stand up and say, I'll live for you. I'll do what you'd have me to do. We're asking for your filling today, dear Lord, so the things that we see and say and do would be led of you. It would be Spirit-controlled, not in a robotic way, but in a volunteer way. We ask for your help now, Lord. May you get the glory through all said and done, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When the Holy Spirit fills the church. Acts chapter 1. Would you go there with me, please? We're in the book of Acts, and take a look at chapter 1. Again, this is just some review. First of all, we saw the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit makes witnesses out of the weak. Witnesses out of the weak. Acts chapter 1 is what Jesus said, the last thing recorded before he ascended into heaven, these words, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Bible says that Jesus was going to send the Holy Ghost. He had told the disciples this several times, especially in the last few times before he was crucified. And here they are, his last words to them, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you shall have power to witness. You are a witness of me, he said, but now you're going to have power. There's going to be some heavenly strength behind it. And God says it's coming. And it was just a few days later, chapter 2 talks about that. The Bible says that they received the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons why we need to walk in the Spirit of God is that we can't witness powerfully without Him. The Bible tells us these men were weak because they had sinned. They were sinners, born that way, just as everyone is. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means everybody in the United States. How many believe that? All means everybody in Russia and Ukraine and everywhere else in the world. Every person is born with the need to have their sins paid for. They were sinners, and yet the Bible says they were sinners saved by Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, please. John chapter 11. This was Jesus' message all through his ministry. That the answer to our sin, the answer and payment for our sin, is Him. Jesus is the answer. John chapter 11, and look at verse number 25. Again, John 11 is when Lazarus had died. He had two sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha had come out to meet Jesus as He came several days after Lazarus was dead, and she said, "Boy, if you had been here, he'd still be with us. If you would have been here, Jesus, my brother would still be, you know, we'd go have some fellowship together. We'd visit together." Well, look at what He says in John chapter 11. Let me start with verse 24. Well, verse 23, here's what Jesus said. He saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto Him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then He asked the question, "Believest thou this?" Believest thou this? Do you believe in Jesus as your Savior today? Hey, God says, that's why Jesus came, so that you could have a Savior to believe and trust in. His blood payment on the cross paid our debt to God, and He will receive us into His heaven because we receive Jesus as Savior. It's not work that we do, it's work that He's done. Amen. It's not by works of righteousness. Being in church is a blessing. I'm glad you're here. I hope you come back tonight. But being here doesn't get you to heaven, doesn't get you saved. You hear the message about how to do it, but unless you receive it and believe on Him, it's not your possession yet. And yet God says, if you believe in Him, believe in Christ, you have His salvation. These men were weak, but yet they were saved in Jesus. These men were weak because they had failed. We looked at three examples. Philip, you might remember, one of the disciples, he doubted Jesus. John chapter 14 is that famous verse, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Three verses later, verse number 8, this is what Philip said. "Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us," or "it is enough for us. We'll believe in You if You show us some grandiose, amazing, spectacular picture of God." I guess raising people from the dead, healing the sick and the lame, showing the blinds how to see, all these other things, not to mention all the spiritual truth they heard, it just wasn't enough for Philip. And so he failed in that regard. He just didn't understand that God had already done that. He delayed decisions of faith. Peter had denied his own weakness, and then he denied Jesus. You know the story in John 14, where the Bible tells, or Mark 14, excuse me, the Bible says that Peter told Jesus to His face before He was crucified, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." How many have ever said something they wish they could take back? Man, if you're not raising your hand, then you're raising your heart, amen. Because we all have said things that we wish we had not. Thankfully, most of us don't have somebody writing it down in Scripture for all of time and every Christian to read. But there was Peter. And you know, he did deny Jesus. He had failed. Then we looked at Thomas. You remember Thomas? He's called, we often call him Doubting Thomas because he doubted what the witnesses of the disciples told him. Hey, we've seen in the risen Christ, he's been here. We have seen him face to face. And Thomas said what? Not until I put my fingers in the, thrust my finger in his side and in the prints of his hand, the nail prints, I will not believe. That is what he said. John chapter 20, if you want to go there, take a look. John 20, look at verse number 27. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Because this is what he did for Doubting Thomas. Verse number 27, he met with them again. The Bible says another time when the disciples were together and now Thomas was with them. Verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, he showed up. The Bible says the first words he said was, peace be unto you, to all those in the room. And then the very next thing he did was he went right to Thomas. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. They were failures. They were weak because they had failed. And yet these men had to be weak so that they could be, give glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 1. We're talking about how the Holy Spirit makes witnesses out of the weak. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 explains why weakness is important to God. Not weak in the sense of, you know, you can't pick up the dictionary anymore because you're too weak. No, weakness in the sense of I'm not relying in my strength and understanding and guidance and wisdom and all the rest. I'm relying on the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, take a look. Here's why God wants you and I to be weak before him. Verse number 27 is where it starts. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of whom are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, what? Let him glory in the Lord. Oh, the Bible wants you and I to understand. If we want to be a witness for Christ, there's got to be a sense where we're weak before him. Weak and humble before him. Number two, as we go back to Acts, take a look, please, with me at verse 32. Acts 5 and verse 32. Would you read verse 32 with me? Let's read it together in Acts chapter 5, or 4, excuse me. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Let's begin. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. The Bible says they were of one heart, one soul, all things common. Number two, the Holy Spirit nurtures fellowship instead of factions. Fellowship instead of factions or groups, various and never to meet together groups. The Holy Spirit nurtures fellowship as one, one heart, one soul, the Bible says, all things common. You know, the Bible shares some particular truths about these things. Let me share with you, first of all, division is easier to do than to unite. Division is easier than to unite in Christ. Couple examples to mention. We talked about the disciples. Let's look at them for a second too. Peter, remember Peter's denial. Peter's denial could have gone unforgiven by the others. You know, not like us where we forgive right away, amen? No, but they were people too. They were people too. Maybe guys were hurt, could have been, just like we get hurt today. Maybe guys were upset, just like people get upset today. Peter's denial could have gone unforgiven by the others. But let me ask you this. I should say, let me say this. The humbling part of Peter's story is that his denial of Jesus is not mentioned anywhere after the Gospels. Now, I've read the Bible a few times. I've read the Gospels, and man, we all like to bring that up when, yeah, there's weaknesses and there's failures. But let me ask you this. After Jesus forgave him, after he got back on the horse and started ministering for Christ, is there anywhere in the New Testament that is mentioned? Can I tell you, I've not found it. Here's what I believe. Is not only did Jesus forgive him, but guess what? Everybody else did too. This was not a matter of let's go back and remember how Peter was. No, that's not the way it was. The Bible says they were filled with the Spirit of God, and instead of taking the easy way, they chose to follow the leadership of Peter, for that matter. There was a time when the Bible mentions it. It's only mentioned once in the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Would you look there, please? Where Jesus met with Peter. This is the only time it's mentioned. And it doesn't say what they talked about. But we can reason out that because Peter, God was going to use him in a mighty way, Jesus wanted to have a private meeting with him. Look at verse number 4 and 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Talks about the gospel here, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And verse number 4 says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. This is not recorded in the Gospels. It's not recorded in the letters that Peter wrote of his personal meeting with Jesus. But here, the Apostle Paul, it must have been known to the New Testament church because the Apostle Paul records it for us in 1 Corinthians here. The truth of the matter is that when God forgives a sin, do you know what? God doesn't remember it anymore. Amen. Are you glad of that? Now the problem is we're like animals sometimes. We're not animals. By the way, how many knew we're not animals? Come tonight, by the way, we're looking at our confessions of faith, and man is one of them that we're going to look at, what the Bible teaches about man, just shortly. But sometimes we act like animals. We act like a dog. We have a dog. How many have dogs? How many have a dog that ate something that you wish he or she did not eat? And try as you might, that dog will go back to its, like the Bible says, its what? Vomit. You know, not only what comes out the front of the mouth the dog seemed to like. I won't say it. You know what I'm talking about. It's gross. Sometimes we go back, and the idea in the Bible is the same thing. We go back to the sin that is so rotten and horrible. We choose not to follow the Spirit of God. We choose to go the way of the flesh. And it's just as disgusting. Well, God says, you know, when I forgive, I not only forgive you, but I give you power to have victory over it. Amen? He which giveth us the victory. Peter's denial, that was one example. How about Thomas? Remember Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Thomas's tendency to doubt could have stirred up discord. Turn with me, if you would, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. His tendency to doubt could have stirred up discord. Well, I don't think that's going to work. Well, what if this happens? Well, what makes you the expert? Proverbs chapter 6. Let's take a look. Doubts. Doubt or casting doubt. Chapter 6, look at verse number 16. Follow along, I read this list. The Bible says, These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Doubting can certainly stir up discord. Bible says Thomas seemed to be one who was, that was a weakness maybe of his, and yet God in his grace, you heard it, you heard what Jesus said. He said, be not faithless, but what? Believing. The Bible tells you and me, you know, even all the disciples could have ended Christ's commission. Turn with me, if you would, Mark chapter 14, Gospel of Mark. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, how he nurtures fellowship instead of factions. Mark chapter 14. This is when Jesus was taken from the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas had come out with the soldiers. He had been led into the court. And what did the rest of the disciples do? They were all there, by the way. The Bible says in Gethsemane, Jesus brought, he gathered them all to Gethsemane. He took three of the disciples specifically to come to another area specifically where he was going to pray. Who were the three disciples? Peter, James, and John. What did those three disciples do when they were told to pray? They slept. They fell asleep. Jesus continued on in his prayer. Well, the Bible says Judas came. He brought the soldiers, the other disciples. What did they do? Mark chapter 14, look at verse number, let me start with verse 47. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. By the way, the another gospel tells us who that man was. Who was it? Peter. And Jesus answered and said unto them, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. Now look at this. And they, how many? They all forsook him and fled. We keep talking about Peter and the terrible thing he did to the Lord, but the truth is all the disciples abandoned him. Things were too much at the moment in their eyes. Yes, the Bible tells us division is easier, but uniting in Christ can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look again back in Acts chapter 4. Would you go there again with me, please? And look at verse 32. Division is easier than uniting, but in unity in Christ, the bond has more value than possessions. The bond has more value than possessions. That we are living for Christ together means more than anything to this church. Verse number 32, it says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Notice this in verse number 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. This is not the church's, social plan to take care of everybody. That's not what it is. It was fellowship. It was unity. It was those that have need and those that can help. Let's get together and let's get the job done. Their very possessions had less value than the bond that they could grow with one another. Is that the way you feel today? In God's house, with God's people? Do you know what the Bible indicates? That as a Christian, if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, and you are too, we'll feel the same way. Oh, you got any? I'm gonna be there. I've got something to help. Whatever it can be done. Look at verse number 33 again, chapter 4 of Acts. The Bible says this, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Submission, here's the third thought, submission to the Holy Spirit unites the church for unhindered outreach. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." Their submission to the Spirit of God, His leadership through them, the Bible says they went out and they began to witness. The Bible says they witnessed with great power. Wow. Wow. Have you ever witnessed like that? You know, if you've attempted to witness for God and strive to do it on a regular basis, you know what it is to witness with great power. Not because you have an amazing vocabulary. Not because you've memorized half of the books of the Bible. But because you know a little something about someone who needs to get saved. And there was a brokenness before you went. What did these people, by the way, what did they do before the Spirit of God met with them? Let's take a look. Go back here at verse number 31. What did they do at the very beginning? "And when they had prayed," and when they had prayed, "they sought God and His direction," and they had no plans. Whatever the Lord wants, that's what we're going to do. And the Bible says God filled them with the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit nurtures fellowship instead of factions. Number three, let me share this with you. Again, in verse 33, it says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." The Holy Spirit, number three, produces growth without gimmicks. Produces growth without gimmicks. And I say that, and I just ordered some Father's Day gifts. But let me tell you this. The idea is not that there's any spiritual power in gimmicks, but that the power comes from the Holy Spirit of God. When these people went out to witness, it simply says they witnessed of the Lord Jesus. They told others about what He was, who He was, what they can do for Him. What they did not have, they didn't have a big carnival. They didn't have a big concert. They did not have special car shows. You bring your chariot in, we'll judge them, which one looks the best. And can I share with you, those things are nice, they can be helpful, but if we're counting on them, God says that's where our focus and vision is wrong. If we're counting on those things, God says it's the witness of the power of the Spirit of God that attracts. What is a gimmick, by the way? Let me share with you that a gimmick is a device designed to attract attention, but has little value. Often it was used by, the nearest I could find was back in the early 1900s. Remember, people would go along the boardwalks and there would be, here's a little booth with a guy who was a magician. Here's a little guy, here's a booth that has a guy, you know, he's trying to sell soap. And so he's got gimmicks for that. People would go by and they would have something to attract their attention. Hey, something free over here. Whatever the case. Gimmicks. But had little value in itself. Some of you guys might remember who this guy is. Hossein Khosrow Ali Vaziri. Does that ring any bells? How about the Iron Sheik? Anybody remember the Iron Sheik? World Wrestling Federation? Hossein, or the Iron Sheik, is an Iranian. He's a retired professional wrestler. In 1971, he was the Amateur Athletic Union Greco-Roman Wrestling Champion and a gold medalist at 180.5 pounds. Later, he became an assistant coach to the USA team for the 1972 Olympic Games in Munich, Germany, which they won, I think, 3 or 4 gold medals that year. As a pro, he would submit his opponents with his famous camel clutch. the iron sheik. He'd put you in this hold, and man, it felt like a camel was pulling you apart, I guess. This is what he said. In Sheiky's day, he spoke with broken English. In Sheiky's day, we wrestle. We not use gimmick like tables and chairs. You know, the truth of the matter is, we can try to use gimmicks and forget all about the power of God. By the way, let me say this. Having special things and opportunities for people is not a bad thing. But if we're focusing on that more than the teaching and preaching of God's word or drawing people to Christ, that's where our focus is wrong. That's where our focus is wrong. And these people had the Holy Spirit. They had power in their church. What happened when the Holy Spirit powered the church? Well, it always brought growth. When the Holy Spirit was in power, it always brought growth. Let's take some examples and look through the book of Acts as we continue today. Acts chapter 2, go there, please. Remember, Jesus ascended. Bible says the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. Bible says there was at least 120 of them there. They went out. Peter began to preach the gospel. What happened? Verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them what? 3,000 souls. Acts chapter 4, the chapter that we've been looking at. Take a look, verse number 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Wow. Go to chapter 5, verse number 14. Let me start in verse number 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, magnifying God and Christ, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Chapter 6, go there. Chapter 6. Let me start with verse number 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You see what can happen when the Holy Spirit's in control? Wow. Now, I don't know if we can fit 5,000, but we can fit a few. Amen. We can fit a few more. But the idea is not so that we can fill something, but that we will be filled with the Spirit of God. Can I ask you this question this morning? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? The Bible says there's a few things that are evident in our life, if that's true. One of them is that we are weak before God. We are humble, and we are weak before Him. If that's a need to do that, won't you do it today? Another one is that we are seeking to nurture fellowship instead of factions. There's a need to change that. Change it today. And then finally, the Bible says we simply operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. How can you do that? Well, how about asking Him first? How about asking Him? That's what the disciples did. They prayed. And then the Spirit came. The Bible says the room shook. They asked. Would you do that? Maybe you're here this morning and you simply need to know who the Holy Spirit is. You can't know Him unless you know Christ. Jesus is the answer to that. He's the answer to the sin problem you've been dealing with, but you can't take care of yourself. Only Christ can do that. If that's your need, would you ask Him to save you today? Heavenly Father, I pray, would you show us who we are in reflection of your word? Show us where we are in response to the Holy Spirit. Lord, show us what to do. The very next step, and not get ahead of you. Oh God, I pray, would you help us to be a church that can say, it can be said, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray for your hand at this time, at the invitation, in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, please, eyes are closed. With no one looking around, if you're here this morning and you're able to stand, would you do that with me at this time? Let's stand together with heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe God's shown you there's a need in your life, and Jesus is the answer. Submission to the Spirit of God, that's part of the answer. Surrendering your life, that's part of the answer. Would you do that right here, right now? No better place and definitely no better time. The altar's open. Maybe you need Christ as your Savior. I'll be down there. I'll have my Bible. I'd like to show you very clearly that you can have all the doubts about eternity answered today. If that's you, I'd like to talk with you from God's Word. As the organ softly plays the song we're going to sing in just a moment, would you respond to God's Word? Would you ask Him? Would you fill me? Would you feel me? Make it a big deal as we do at this time.